flick off your jandals, crack a cold one from the chilli bin, chuck on some cans, and enjoy a Kiwi take on all things Arsenal.
And welcome back to another Arsenal New Zealand podcast. We're previewing the Arsenal versus Burnley game, which is kicking off in New Zealand at, I think it's 3 a.m. tomorrow morning. I'm joined by the ever-positive Corey Smith down in Wellington. Hey, Corey, how's it going, mate?
G'day, Mike. All good down in this neck of the woods. How's things up your way?
The sun is shining. We're still in... Are we in orange? I don't know, level whatever three, level two, whatever. I don't know. We're allowed out and I can go to the supermarket and the shopping mall. So things are positive.
Happy days.
Things are positive.
Silver linings.
Silver linings. And I've actually started playing summer football. We've been allowed to play football, which is pretty awesome. So
giddy up.
I play it's my winter team, but we're playing in a little seven-a-side comp at the local ground up the road.
Yeah.
We've played two matches and the average age of our team is probably about 55. We've got a 72-year-old playing for us sort of stuff. And we've played a team of 19-year-olds, which we drew 2-2. And we played a team of 16-year-olds, which we beat 3-0. So
that's a good effort.
The wily old men are doing their business.
What sort of pitch size are we talking? Half pitch or?
Half pitch. The one on Friday was more like half a beach, but half pitch size, yeah.
Okay, well, that's pretty good.
Yeah, but no, it's good being able to kick a ball around again.
Or at least just getting outside and having a run around. And I mean, obviously, you know, for you guys, the situation you've been in the last bloody ages.
Yeah, and I don't give it too much longer for it happening again, to be fair.
I don't think it will.
So. Well, you're more positive than me, so...
Well, I don't think we're going to get locked down again.
I'm not sure about lockdown, but I think I'll be working from home a lot. That's for sure.
Definitely. Yeah. There'll be restrictions and some people get isolated if they get it and whatever.
But
we're not here for that.
Let's park that.
We're here for the mighty Arsenal.
Let's talk about some football. So an exciting match tomorrow morning. Taking on Burnley at home. It'll be the first time we've played Burnley in a while without Chris Wood as well, won't it?
It will be, yeah, and let's hope it's exciting.
You got any thoughts leading into the game? Obviously, we haven't played for a little while in the league, so.
Yeah, I guess the main thing for me is seeing how, what the actual 11 that takes the pitch is going to look like following on from what happened a few days ago, which we probably don't really want to go into in any great depth.
We're just ignoring that one, right? We're just going to park it and...
I think it's
push it aside.
The old Steve Hansen flustered dunny and move on.
Yeah.
Kind of scenario. I mean, for me at least. As I think I'll probably touch on before, unfortunately it's the joys of a young, growing, developing team and, you know, inconsistency and a few injuries and the silly COVID that we were just talking about and coming up against a pretty good opposition that was far better organized than we were. And fair play to them. Just hope they go on now to win the final.
It is what it is, right?
But the Russians don't, so.
Yeah. No. Yeah, so we're almost kind of back to full strength minus
the AFCON guys.
Yeah, and the one that's returned that's...
That's not returned.
Not allowed to play. but
returned to sender.
I mean, I suppose it's more of the same in terms of lineup is what we're after, right? I think it's the same starting 11 that we've kind of almost predicted every week that we're wanting, really, isn't it?
It is, and I guess the big question is going to be whether there were any injuries coming out of the other game that we don't know about.
Yeah.
Thinking of Tomiyasu in particular. But hopefully they have had a little bit of a chance to get some strength and some energy back into the legs. Obviously, it looked like quite a few of them before that previous game hadn't trained at all, if much. Smith Rowe and Odegaard was actually really, really good.
Yeah.
Surprisingly. But I guess it's just a matter of seeing how quickly they can bounce back.
Yeah, oh, I mean, it seems like we're on repeat though. But I mean, our back four has actually performed all right this season. Like, they're quite young; they're still developing. Quite a few of them are still kind of learning the league as well. So, it's still on repeat. If Tommy's fit, I mean, he definitely gets a start.
If he's even close to fit.
Yeah, if he's not, are we looking down the barrel of maybe a Chambers in the spot?
Well, I'm not sure what the situation was with Cedric, but hopefully, yes, we are looking at Chambers rather than Cedric. But that's just me.
Yeah. No, it's not just you, mate. It's not just you, that's for sure.
You know, I mean, I see, and I know it's been said multiple times by many far smarter football people than my good self, but to me, Chambers is a much closer facsimile of Tomiyasu and what he can do and what he does for our team than Suarez. And I realise there's a big gulf in quality between the two of them. Of course there is, but at least you're getting a guy who's got fundamentally a lot of similar strengths and in the way that he plays football and what he can do for the team compared to Suarez, who's a completely different type of fullback.
Yeah, and Chambers has played a few different positions, so is quite switched on in terms of positional play, cover, etc. If needed, I find Cedric's a bit, let's say, one dimensional in terms of his play. And as soon as the opposition figure out that dimension, there he's kind of negated on the field almost.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of draw parallels. I see Suarez as a shit version of Hector Bellerin.
Yeah.
He's a bit more flighty.
He's shorter,
and that's saying something. Hector's about my size. He's not a big unit. And again, that's just not what this team needs from someone in that position. Under Arteta and with how we're trying to play football. Someone who's a closer version to what Tomiyasu offers us, admittedly at a lower quality, but as you touched on, also offers other benefits to his game and awareness and a broader skill set than what Suarez can. To me, I just don't understand why Suarez ever gets chosen ahead of Chambers, but Mikel's a bit smarter than I am, so I'm sure.
Yeah,
he's perfectly logical reason. So I just can't figure out what on earth they could be.
It potentially could be his, harping back to that one dimensional sort of concept, is he's very defensive. Maybe that's where he's trying to go to allow maybe Ben White to go on his little cameos up the field. But his defense is probably
and when he does go forward, he gets stranded upfield because he doesn't have the pace.
Yeah,
you know,
his little legs can't catch up, right?
No, they can't. They just, you know, it's like a little fly. They're flapping at 5,000 miles an hour, but the guy's barely moving.
Yeah.
No, it's just like, yeah. Anyway,
and I suppose in terms of defensive midfield, I think we're looking probably Lokonga is going to start.
It's going to have to.
And there's no one else really there to partner him that's a defensive midfielder. So we're going to be Odegaard again?
I'd say it's going to have to be.
Yeah. It's quite a young defensive midfield pairing, isn't it?
Well, unless he goes even younger and brings up one of the young guys from the reserves.
Yeah.
But I can't really see that happening. You know, I guess the upside for us is that we're playing a team that doesn't have a terribly dominating midfield.
Hmm.
Either, unlike a few days ago. So, you know, hopefully that could give us a little bit of respite, for want of a better term, and maybe give Arteta a little bit more flexibility with his options, that as much as the amount of options we've got at the moment, which are very few.
Yeah, I mean, well, what have Burnley got kind of that we need to watch out for in that midfield area? There's not many. Is it Westwood and Cork?
Yeah, Westwood's not too shabby. You know, but he's a pretty much a lone ranger.
Yeah.
And now that they don't have the aerial threat that sensational All Whites captain used to provide.
Yeah.
You know, some of their strength has certainly been mitigated. So it's interesting to see how they change their style a little bit.
I suppose at the point of the field, it's Jay Rodriguez, well, everything's going to be lumped on his shoulders, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It will be.
So a little bit to watch out for, but in theory, not too much. Pointy end of outfield. Pointy end of outfield is, I think, the same four that we go with pretty much every week at the moment. Martinelli, Smith Rowe, Saka, Lacazette, right? There's not much else to go up there.
No. And again, I guess it comes back to the fitness stuff and assuming that they're all good to go.
Yeah. Assuming Eddie's going to be on the bench, Everetti Eddie, because we've kind of loaned everybody else out, right? Or they're injured, yeah.
Yeah, and I think he'll go too, but, well, he's going to have to go.
Well, I mean, but the downside of him going is we actually have no striker that has any sort of experience at this level.
I mean, I think we'll bring one or two in before he goes.
Well, we've got 7 days to sort that out.
Well, you know how transfer windows work.
Yeah.
It's all about the last 7 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's starting to get a little bit sketchy, especially with the talks of Aubameyang and the Middle East and stuff like that now as well.
Yeah, and that's why I can see us bringing two strikers in. Not necessarily this window, but... do we just decide that we've got Martinelli there to back up a striker? Or sometimes players a striker.
He's a pretty good option.
Bring in one or two, yeah, he is.
He's a pretty good option.
He's a better option than Nketiah.
Yes, definitely. And like even if we had to make a bit of a change in that top four, let's say Lacazette kind of runs out of a bit of a steam, which is bound to happen at some point. Martinelli goes up and you probably bring on, is it Tavares into that left wing sort of position?
Or Pepe, your old mate.
If he's back from AFCON, obviously.
I have seen some reports that he's actually been playing really well.
He did score.
Which I'm sure you'll doubt. But
no, well, also the opposition, etc., that he's playing against. But I did see that he did score a pretty good goal. So give him props for that, considering he hasn't had much game time at a club side. To be able to do that on an international stage, I suppose it doesn't really matter.
Fair play.
The opposition, right?
He's doing all he can do.
And, exactly. Yeah.
And good on the guy for doing that.
And if that sparks him into a bit of life for us,
sparks him into a bit of value for us.
Yeah, either which way.
Someone else looks, oh, actually, we need a right side. Yeah. Old mate, they're sitting on the bench for us, and I wonder if he wouldn't mind a bit of
game
time.
Bit of game time, yeah.
He's £25 million. Thanks for coming.
Exactly, yeah. I suppose the last thing I wanted to maybe touch on with you before we look at predictions and stuff is I saw, I think it was on the Match of the Day Facebook page, they had a list of all the players in the world that are kind of available on a free at the end of the season. I don't know if you saw it, but it's quite a substantial list of players, and we've got one or two that are in that list, but I mean, if you were looking at kind of if we had to lose a player on a free, which we're probably going to lose someone like Lacazette, etc., would you be kind of wanting to bring in a player on the free, or would you rather buy them and secure their services before that sort of free window comes in?
Well, I think that's part of a bigger shift that's happened over the last probably 2 years in Europe, and it's happening more often, and that players are a lot more inclined now to let their contract run out. And then rather than going to a club that's going to pay, you know, 50 million, 100 million, 30 million, whatever, as a transfer fee to get them, the club doesn't pay the transfer fee, but they get a much, much higher salary.
Yep.
So rather than that money going to the club they've left, that money ends up in their pocket. And they have a lot more control over, obviously, where they want to go. And I think for people like, certainly people coming towards the end of their career like Lacazette, Even a young guy like Nketiah, who's at the other end of his career, it's just about giving themselves options that, you know, if Nketiah decided he wanted out of Arsenal and he had 2 years on his contract left, or 3 years or whatever, and Arsenal said, oh, we want 25 million, then all of a sudden his only choices are the number of clubs that are prepared to pay 25 million for Eddie Nketiah, yep. Which might be, it might be 30, it might be one, whatever.
Could be done, yeah.
Whereas obviously, yeah, this way, he's like, right, I can go to Italy, I can go to the US, I can stay in England, I can go to a championship club, I can do whatever the bloody hell I want. So yeah, it's happening more and more often, and it seems that it used to be that if a player's contract ran out, it was generally because they're a bit shit.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the club had kind of lost enthusiasm and they weren't really playing a whole lot. And that's kind of not so much the case now. So there are players who are running out of their contracts who are still have got something to offer. And if Arsenal identified players in that situation, then yeah, great. You know, probably there's a backhander to the agent or something, I suppose, because they're always booking a ticket somewhere.
Yeah, they always are.
Yeah, hashtag Vlahovic. But yeah, I just think it's a little bit of a shift in kind of how some of the finances are shifting around player signings and football generally.
Yeah. So I've just kind of pulled up, I don't know how much you put trust in this, but The Sun, I don't know, do you ever follow them?
Not if I can help it, but yeah. Go on.
I know, but there's some interesting things there, which, I mean, if they've got any shred of truth to them, would be awesome. But they're saying that Arsenal have had a £66 million offer accepted for Vlahovic, rising to £88 million with add-ons, depending on performances, etc. Mm-hmm. They're saying Arteta's going to be offered a two-year contract extension.
I've seen that.
And these are all within the last like sort of hour. Apparently we're looking to, or we're almost closing in on Arthur.
Yeah.
On loan, which is quite interesting. So, I mean, if are you happy with a two-year extension for Arteta with his current performance, first of all?
I am. However, how much that is motivated by the Guardiola situation is a bit of a question for me, but at the end of the day, you know, I guess the question is, to come at it from the opposite angle, who would you want coaching Arsenal if it wasn't Arteta, realistically? You know, and obviously we'd love to say, you know, do we wait for Tuchel to get sacked, which he probably will sooner or later?
Yeah.
And then would he come to Arsenal? Probably not.
Depends how much money you throw at him as well, right?
Yeah, obviously Klopp's not going anywhere. Or when he does, he's going to have a break.
Yeah.
Guardiola's going to have a break. Yeah. So before it's the, do you want Arteta to stay? It's who would you have if he didn't?
Yeah. Yeah, look, I look at it from, obviously, there is a few sour grapes with Arteta from the start of his reign.
Yeah.
But since he's been able to kind of have his team, I suppose, and bring in his players, etc., there has been a big shift in terms of our performance and our results, etc. He's still got some dead wood that he's got to get rid of.
And
he's working on that, but yeah, it takes a while.
It does, and that's the thing, you know, like a lot of us kind of, oh, we've still got whatever, you know, it takes three years,
yeah.
You know, six transfer windows, really, to refresh a squad. You know, not two or three.
Yeah.
And I guess the thing with Arteta now, and it's really become more apparent in the last 3 to 6 months, is that we're starting to see what he's trying to do. Whereas, yeah, you know, 12 months ago, a few of us were still kind of scratching our heads going, you know, what are we actually trying to be, or how are we trying to play, or what are we trying to, what's the strategy, and so on and so forth. So,
yeah, I think the players are also responding to what he's trying to do too, which is making positive. And you've still got to look at, we're still one of the youngest squads in the league, if not the youngest. So it's the fact that we're able to hold around that fifth, sixth, fourth position, whatever it is, and fight for that spot with a fairly young squad
definitely
bodes well for the future, especially if we can bring in a striker or two that is of the right age and mentality for what we're trying to do, right?
Absolutely. And another midfielder and you know, a couple of whatever, but we're starting to see it. You know, we're starting to see matches where we're competing with the top teams.
Yeah.
Can we do that consistently? Of course not, as we've seen. That's going to take two or three seasons to get to the point where we can. But if this group stays together and, as you said, is enhanced a little bit here and there in a couple of key areas, then bring it on. The future looks, it looks positive. You know, doesn't mean we're going to be winning Premier Leagues and Champions Leagues, not necessarily, but we'll be in them.
Yeah,
and that's not somewhere that we've been for quite some time, not realistically anyway.
No, exactly. And have hopefully either this season we do get that Champions League spot, or next season I'm pretty confident we will, with a few enhancements. It's especially with the rise in the performance levels, etc., is definitely possible. Like, I don't think under the Emery era or late Wenger era, etc., or even early Arteta era, we had a team that had the possibility of that.
Yeah.
And even if we did, we'd be out straight away anyway. So
we've got a team that we can all see is getting better.
Yeah.
And with some additional investment, we'll continue to get a lot better.
And I suppose we've talked about the old KSE a bit in the past.
Yep.
They're actually stumping up a bit of, I suppose, transfer money, etc., at the moment in the last two windows.
Yep.
And that they're putting their money where their mouth is, right? And they're backing Arteta. So not that I ever want to give old Stanmate a bit of props, but Josh has definitely done a better job.
Well, someone's doing something.
Exactly.
We'll probably never know, but yeah.
But there seem to be throwing a little bit of cash either way. And let's say we haven't had an offer accepted for Vlahovic. The fact that we're talking about big money transfers like that means there is money around, usually. Yeah, like where there's smoke, there's fire type thing, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and perhaps that, you know, and credit to Arteta and Edu, you know, again, not that I've given him a whole lot of credit, but probably have to give credit where it's due, that perhaps they're proving to Stan, Josh, the board, in inverted commas, that, you know, they are putting in place things that are going to get Arsenal into the Champions League, you know, and it might not be this season, and that's okay, but as you said, it will be next season.
Yeah.
You know, if we get into sneak into fourth this year, hey, that's great.
It feels like we're on that trajectory within the next season or two, right?
Yeah, so we're back in the Europa League next season, and then we have a good crack at the top four as well, which I think is a pretty decent and a pretty reasonable growth curve.
Yeah, and I think in the next next month or two, when Champions League kind of starts kicking off again and Europa League starts kicking off, you'll see a few, let's say, other results go our way in the league as well, because the teams around us are playing in those European comps, right? And doubling up, and COVID and injuries and everything else kind of kicks in. And because we're still only local, not international, if you know what I mean, things should start falling back into place like they did pre-Christmas, right?
Definitely. And that's, I don't know if you've seen in your little web surfing recently that we're going on a little bit of a holiday, not just our podcast, because there's no EPL games for another 2.5 weeks. But the squad's going to, I think, Dubai for some warm weather training. which again will just be about giving them a bit of a break, a bit of a refresh, resetting some goals, probably some strategic stuff,
probably
and some physical stuff.
Yeah, and some reconnection after having three or four players away and all that sort of stuff, right?
Exactly. And then it's like, right, we've got pretty much a game a week, you know, a couple of double ups to the rest of the season. So we get things in place and we give it a shot. You know, Edu and his mates have got, Richard Garlick and co have got a week to sort out the transfer stuff after the Burnley game. So they can focus on that. And away we go.
Off we go.
Yeah, I think we'll give it a good match. I mean, I'd be stoked if we finished fifth. Sixth isn't the end of the world. And fourth would be a massive bonus.
No, it's not out of the realms of possibility for fourth.
No, not at all. I'm not saying it is, but
that's where I'm hoping we land. I mean, I think we've got
Arsenal fans being Arsenal fans. Some of them are already. Yeah. Oh, if we don't get fourth, Arteta's got to go.
It's whatever. Like, yeah. Move on. I think we've got two games in hand over United at the moment. And we're already 3 points behind them.
Yeah.
A win against Burnley kind of bumps us into that challenging spot with a game in hand. So, I'm pretty comfortable that we'll be pushing for that fourth spot.
We will be.
Without a major collapse, which I don't think will happen with a squad in this team. So, looking forward. Let's finish on your predictions. The Smith has had not a bad run with his predictions this year. He's got a few close. Right. Yep, he's got close on a number of occasions.
Close-ish.
Where is the Smith landing on his predictions this week?
It's a bit of a tough. I mean, it's always a bit of a tough one because none of us have got a crystal ball. Not as far as I'm aware. I'm going to get my optimistic pants back on. And I'm going to say 3-0 to the Arsenal.
3-0 to the Arsenal. As I said at the start,
a little bit of an uptick.
The ever positive.
Bit of a positive.
Corey, yeah.
Off to Dubai, have some cocktails by the pool, relax, recharge, chill out, and then.
You think they're allowed cocktails? Wouldn't they be on like a very.
Mocktails, probably.
Strict diet? Yeah, too much sugar still. It'd be.
Probably water. vitamin and mineral laced mocktails.
Barocca.
Yeah.
3-0 is quite a positive result and a lot of goals. I mean, we are playing bottom of the table, Burnley.
We are. We've got some useful players up front.
You'd hope we'd have a clean sheet and you hope we'd get a few goals, right? So 2-3-0, something like that would be.
I think Rambo's going to regain a little bit of focus, which looks like it's kind of been wavering in the last couple of performances. But again, young player, not the end of the world. And we get our pretty much. Hopefully, we get our main back four. There's no sign of Cedric or any of his mates. And the young fellas up the top, Martinelli, Saka, and Lacazette to score.
Well, you're actually predicting scorers this week as well. Jesus.
Why? Hey. Well, we've got another 2.5 weeks before our next preview, so
why not?
Let's go that bit further.
Like, I think you're in the right track. Like, I think we're the third best team at home in the league at the moment. Only Liverpool and City are above us on points. So, a home win is probably on the cards. I'm thinking a 2-0 or 3-0 is probably where we'll land. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping we get a goal from. I think Lacazette deserves one. I know he's set up a few and he's kind of that interlinked play, but I think he deserves a goal to kind of cap off where his recent performances. And I don't really care who scores the other one as long as it's Tomiyasu and it's a worldie.
I don't care who scores any of them. To be fair, but no.
I'd love to see one of the kids get a run out as well. I think there's talk of Patino being on the bench or that, is it Salah Olad Mahand playing? I'd love to see one of them get 15 minutes. opportunity to kind of have a run out, especially if we've got a couple goals in the bank and we've got 15 minutes to go. Why not? It's almost a free hit at that point, if you know what I mean.
We'd hope so.
Yeah.
You know, and given our performance and some of the other competitions, we haven't really had many opportunities for some of the young guys this year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but I'm hoping Rambo turns it on again. And starts finding his form again. I suppose he had quite a big high at that start of the season when he kind of came into the team, and he's kind of just, let's say, plateaued a little bit.
Yes.
And that's natural, I suppose, all that adrenaline and that energy and stuff has kind of dropped a little bit. So now it's time for him to have a reset, as like you said, with the rest of the team, and kind of recharge and refocus and come in that end of the season nice and strong. How many games have we got left in the season? We've played
15 or 20. 16.
So there's 18 for us.
18. Oh, 18. 18 games in 15 weeks, I think we've got.
Yeah. Yeah. So not too stressful, considering the rest of them all kind of have extra games in Europa and cups and all that sort of stuff. So it's definitely manageable.
Good to see I'm rubbing off on you, Mike. You're going for those silver linings.
Silver linings, yeah. I just want a striker. I just need us to bring in a striker, please.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah.
Here's my question to you without notice.
Shoot.
Because I agree that we need to bring in a striker. Who do you think it's going to be? Not who do you want it to be.
Who do you think it
will be? And would you like it to be if they're not the same person?
Hmm. I think the possibility of Vlahovic is exciting, but also I think there's if I was giving a percentage chance, maybe a 25% chance that that'll happen.
Mm-hmm. So he's your
he would preferred, be my preferred at the moment. I've watched a few videos of him, and the conversations around him are very positive in terms of his physicality and his finishing and his mentality, etc. So I think he'd be a good fit for what Arteta is trying to build. If I was going to say, it's really hard to kind of say who I think will come in. The Canadian lad, is it David?
Yep.
He seems pretty good too for a cheaper option. If we're going
on a cheaper option,
well, there's the want and need scenario here where I don't want the cheaper option, definitely, but we need a striker.
We do. So is there somewhere or someone between the cheaper option of David and the if we won Lotto and Stan forgot to take his medication? Send all the money to Vlahovic and his agent and all this other hangers on.
Yeah, there's a few options out there. I assume you're leading me down to some sort of track of someone you've got in mind.
No, not at all.
Okay.
No, what I'm saying is, I mean, I'd be disappointed if we got Jonathan Davids and that was it.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be, if we got someone like a Vlahovic and Jonathan Davids.
Yeah.
Then that's cool, because I don't think Jonathan Davids is going to come in and be our main striker yet. I don't think he's ready for that.
No,
he's not that guy.
Considering Lacazette's gone at the end of the season, Aubameyang's mentally already gone.
Well, yeah.
And he's got this medical thing hanging over him now.
And Nketiah.
We've got Nketiah.
But he's going at the end of the season as well.
Exactly, yeah. So
we need two strikers.
We need two strikers. And we need them. I'd rather have them now.
Yeah.
And have them
totally
half a season of kind of bedding into the squad. Like David, half a season of 20 minutes, 30 minutes a game.
Yeah.
And when we play the lower half of the table or the bottom five, he starts and the other one rests or whatever.
Exactly. And in that context, I'd be quite happy for us to bring in Davids.
Yeah.
As the second kind of backup guy.
But we need a number one wide.
Yeah, exactly. But we need a number one.
Obviously, luck is gone at the end of the season. So being able to have half a season of his experience kind of helping them transition into the squad would be awesome as well, right? Rather than coming in cold and...
Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, it can't hurt. And, you know, one thing for all, a lot of us have bashed Blacker over the years, and I've been as guilty as anybody. You know, I can't help but admire his attitude and his commitment and his willingness to do whatever he can do for the team.
Yeah, and I think that's rubbing off. That's rubbing off on the rest of the team as well, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
So
cool.
Yeah. So do I get to answer my own question?
Yeah, go for it. Why not?
I agree with Vlahovic with you. And especially after watching one of the review videos that was out there.
They're always really positive though, aren't they?
No, this was the one that the Arsenal Vision podcast guys did using Y Scout.
Yep.
So it was actual based on the scouting videos, which shows everything. And that was, as it was for a couple of guys on the podcast, for me it was a bit of a eye-opener as to what he can do besides score goals.
Yep.
He's not just a big unit who goes up front and can score goals. It showed a lot of his passing skill, dropping deep, doing the stuff that Laker's been doing, getting the ball out wide, turning.
Just with a bit more pace and a bit more energy, right?
I think a lot more.
Yeah. I was trying to be kind to Laker. Come on, man.
So I think he could be anything and do anything for us. Clearly, if he's out of the question, and I guess the big red flag for me is the agent and all the rubbish around that, is probably someone like Kezak, I think would be a... But again, is he the guy who's going to come in and start scoring 20, 25 goals a season for us? Probably not yet.
No.
And he's going to cost a shitload. Not quite as much as Vlahovic, but up there. And then, I go back to someone like DCL or something like that. I mean, I don't know what the answer is, but that's why Arteta and Edu and
get paid the big bucks, right?
Get paid the big bucks and do what they do. And we just sit here and dribble into a microphone every few weeks.
at the moment, it feels like every 2 weeks as well, right? But
look,
it's an interesting one, because I don't think Isak will be the number one. I think he's kind of a number one and a half, or two and a half, one and a half, somewhere around there.
He's still developing.
Exactly, yeah. Like, let's say Vlahovic is off the... Notice how we've both learned to say the name now. let's say he's off the table. Would you be happy with David and Isak together?
No.
There's no experience there, right?
Yeah, I think we need one guy, and even Vlahovic, when you think about it, you know, he's not the finished product yet.
No.
He's going to take time to adapt to a new country and language and new type of football and da-da-da-da-da. You know, I'd love us to get someone from within the Premier League who knows the system, who knows the competition, who knows how to play. They might not be a complete top drawer elite centre forward, but they might be a little bit of an upgrade on what Lacazette gives us. And I guess for me, that's someone like Calvert-Lewin or someone like that. And then maybe one of these European or continental guys that are high potential, like an Isak or maybe David's.
Well, what about someone like Dennis from Watford?
Yeah, or even Ivan Toney, not that he's scored many goals, but just someone who you know what he can do. He can do a job.
Yeah.
No, if we can't get that elite striker yet, we can just go, okay, we'll bring this guy in for 3 years, whatever, he can play a role. He's not going to play that role every week, because other weeks, depending on the opposition, we might have Martinelli up front. We might, whatever. We might have Pepe up front. I guess it's, you know, there's different ways to cut and slice it. But, I mean, I don't want us to go and pay 70 or 80 million for a striker who's not going to come in and do the business straight off the bat.
That's
what we're going to need.
I'm just looking through the list of Premier League strikers, and I'm using my fantasy Premier League as my list. But Antonio is not going to leave West Ham, I don't think.
He's the same age as Lacazette.
So. Yeah, we'd ignore Ronaldo. Saint-Maximin, we've talked about him before. Yeah. There's a lot of energy, but there's limited in terms of technique, etc. there. So Vardy's committed to Leicester. We've tried that before. Tony, Mope, they're kind of, well, I think Mope's a few years older than Tony, isn't he now?
Yeah. I think Tony's about 25.
Yeah. Jesus isn't going to leave. Pukki. Edouard from Crystal Palace.
See, I quite liked Edouard when he was at Celtic.
Mm.
I thought he could be a useful, you know, again, useful. You're not going to pay 80 million for him, but you get him for 35, 40, and he'll come in and get 15 goals. And, you know, while you're betting the young, high potential, 20, 21-year-old future star kind of thing, ideally.
Yeah, well, I mean, Lukaku's kind of been on the...
alongside Martinelli.
Lukaku's kind of been on the fringe at Chelsea for a little while. Would you take him?
Can we convince him that...
He's quite a different player, a different style of player, right?
Yeah. I mean, if he goes anywhere, he's got to go back to old mate Conte, isn't he? I mean, in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Because he loves Conte, or they love each other, or I don't know, something. Whatever. I don't know. Interesting, though.
Yeah, in the first page of forwards, 66 players, Dominic Calvert-Lewin is not in there for this season.
Yeah,
and that would worry me. The fact that he's not, I suppose, scoring fantasy points means he's not scoring goals.
Because he's been injured.
Yeah,
he hasn't been playing.
Yeah,
so it's hard to score fantasy points when you don't play.
100%. Yeah, but bringing in someone like him potentially. Well, I know he's got potential. It's scary to think that. I mean, he's been injured for such a long time. Like, it's half a season, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, but I guess this is the thing. There's no real captain obvious.
No.
Solution.
Well, there is. He just wants more money, and we've got a dodgy agent to deal with.
What's the agent? And the question whether he even wants to come to Arsenal. Which, if you believe what you read, he doesn't. So
there was something I read that he'd rather go to Man City if he was coming to the Premier League.
Yeah, I read that this morning too.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, surely at some point you just go next. But again, these guys that are running our club, they've been preparing for this for years. So, you know,
we hope.
Us fans are all losing our shit over Vlahovic and a Mickey Mouse agent and. Whatever. You know, they're probably just patiently plotting whatever they've been plotting for the last 12 months.
Yeah.
It's not as though Lacazette suddenly got, suddenly turned 30 and no one knew it was coming. I guess the big fly in the ointment was around over. And, you know, that would have brought his exit or reduction in role forward at least 6 months.
Yeah.
And again, so is his form up until he got. He was a naughty boy anyway. It's not as though he's been contributing.
But also now the health issues potentially mean the on-sale price is quite a lot less, right?
Yeah. Although apparently it's not an issue. Again, reports this morning. And we've been offered, I think a couple of Middle Eastern clubs have offered a little bit of cash and we'll pay his wages and everyone can get on with their lives. So.
Yeah, that's potentially the best option.
I think so.
Look, we've chatted long enough.
We have.
Fingers crossed for tomorrow morning. I'll expect to see a text message from you at 3 o'clock saying that you're up and you're watching it. You definitely won't get one from me because I'll be here.
Sure, you wouldn't rather one at 5 o'clock telling you what the score is.
Yeah, no, I don't want that either. Thanks. But appreciate your time this morning. Thanks very much, Corey. Always great to have your insight.
Been a pleasure. Thanks, Mike.
Come on, the Arsenal.